You and I, if we don't watch it in our life, and I'm talking about in everyday living, we will miss witnessing the blessing God has for us on that day. Now, I didn't say you're going to miss the blessing. You will miss witnessing the blessing. Well, that simply says then, you mean that throughout the day and all the good things that goes on in my life that God has blessed me with, I guess I just don't always thank Him for it, Brother Larry. I never talked about all the good things. I'm talking about anything. Anything that affects a child of God affects God. And God will use evil to protect His children. See, God is in control. Too often you and I think, well, you know, I've lost control, so maybe God has. No, don't worry about that one. And not only that, let me give you another little piece of advice. You never were in control. See, it's the pride of the heart of the human race. God saw the pride that people would have. I can do it myself. Sadly, we have never done it ourselves. Throughout life, there's always been someone there to help us. Jesus said, I'm going to send to you my Spirit. I'm going to indwell you. But not just that. I'm going to send to you my people. For today you are hurting. Someone yesterday was hurting the same way, so I promise you, I'll have them come and give you a talking to. A fellow Christian with skin on them. Not just my Spirit. Have you ever thought about that so often we will push back on the Spirit of God? Mostly that will take place when we're in our favored sin or getting ready to fall into that favored sin. Lord, I don't want to think about you right now. Do you realize that the Lord keeps us on His heart and His mind, whether we keep Him on ours or not? That's what it means to be a child of God. And as I shared with you at the beginning on the Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6, starting with verse 9. We call it the Lord's Prayer because they ask Him, Lord, how should we pray? And He goes into Matthew 6, 9. But Jesus never prayed that prayer. He didn't have to. Jesus knew no sin. Jesus loved His fellow man. Jesus knew who the bread of life was, and Jesus happened to have been the best drink of water that has ever hit the creation of Almighty God. I am your food. I am your drink. I want you to know something, my children. I love you. And when you love someone, you do all you can to take care of them. Right? It does not matter. You may not go along with all the hurt and pain they will have caused. But your love for your children remains. A love that runs deep. We become discouraged and thinking, is it over? The peace of mind. Very few will ever walk in this world and truly hold on to the peace of mind offered to us by Jesus. Because we're in the world as a human being, the human desires so often override our spiritual wants, our spiritual needs. And we don't talk to God about, Lord, give me more strength to stand for your word. Too often we say, Lord, give me this and give me that. James, the half-brother to Jesus, said it this way, that man need not think that he will receive anything from me, because he only wants it for his own personal use. So you and I have been blessed by God with eternal life. When I said yes to Jesus Christ, I understand more each day about his great love for me. I just don't understand why. I don't understand why he loves me like he does. But he said, I want you to know how much I love you, Larry. And put your name in that. Whether you've accepted Christ or not, you put your name there. It's because you have not made a commitment to Jesus Christ does not control his love for you. The scripture says he loved me while I was still yet in sin. And even when I said yes to him, he said, let me remind you something, Larry. In this human condition, you will always sin. But I will always be your advocate. My blood runs deep. My love surrounds what I give you. My forgiveness has no bounds. And my truth has already won. I went to that cross once and for all. I told you what I would do, and I followed through. But Lord, I haven't. There's a big mistake, Christian. Listen. God looks at us, and when he gives those promises, at the end of all the promises, if there even is an end to all the promises, you will never hear but. Matter of fact, you're my child. I love you. See you later. Oh, and Larry, when you allow me to be in control of the spirit that I have given you, then let's get about our Father's business. You and I grow up. We have families, jobs. God allows us a time to understand what family means. But he's also showed us the hatred within families, the bitterness. And he shows us that to show us the problem with his family, his church on earth today. There's not anybody in this congregation or listening that's going to agree 100% with anybody else, period. And knowing the human condition as I do, if we do decide we're starting to do that, we'll lie about what we truly believe. Because we don't want to get along with everybody. Don't worry, you won't. But the closer you walk to the Lord and ask him to guide you, the more you will see hell coming against you. I told you all last year, December, that I knew, because this year's focus to set our soul afire, that your pastor would be attacked from every angle. Now, I'm sure that most of you had no idea what I was talking about. Those in ministry do. But God says, listen to me. You will continue to have the attacks against you. But God our Father said something to us through His Son. I don't want you to ever forget. In the Gospel of John chapter 17, read that chapter, 17, verse by verse, for that is Jesus' prayer. That's the true Lord's prayer. He is praying. First of all, you will see He prays for Himself. The next, you will see the prayer for those disciples that followed Him right then and there. Then you will see the prayer He prayed for you and me, those who will believe based on what you disciples will teach. That's us. We're the generation. I didn't get to see Jesus personally, but I do know He's personally in me. And I do know He personally loves me. And you know, I appreciate anybody that loves me. After you get through life and you've dealt with life for so long, you just appreciate anybody that'll love you. And if you don't get it from a human being, you'll go let the dog lick your face. Because that dog always loves you. Jesus prayed a prayer. And in that prayer, He said, Larry, I want you to know that you get to live where I live. So my address pretty quick here is going to be at the house of God, Jesus' place, waiting for you to get there. I won't have to preach, because you will know. For the word of the true preacher is who you will stand before. He will lift His heart to you and I. And He will say to us, I loved you. I've given to you all that I am and all that I have. I've always wondered about the next statement that bounces in my mind. For many years. Not Larry, you sure didn't mess up. But I love you. Why didn't you let me bless you more? You and I are missing the true blessings that God has for us right now because we said, Lord, I'm blessed enough, leave me alone. Well, I never said that. Our actions say it. If we will not stand for Jesus outside the doors of Vine Grove Baptist Church, we will not stand in the presence of Him when He ushers in His children. His children love Him. His children know Him. And His children understand that we couldn't take care of ourselves. We don't know the right answer. We go in the wrong direction. And here's Jesus standing there, knocking at the doors of the churches trying to get back in. Now, Jesus, if you come in here, you're going to make some people uncomfortable. I don't like being uncomfortable. Every time I get in Scripture, start reading, I get uncomfortable. Every time I preach the Word of God, I get uncomfortable. Why? Because I'm preaching to myself. You see, you and I that have been handed life on a bloody platter, you and I have been blessed with the greatest gift. That gift is, I know where I'm going to live for eternity. Let me share with you, you have an opportunity to live there with us. For it is Christ whose arms are open wide. It is His love that loves me. It is His love through me, His love through you, that we must show to a lost and dying world. I do not want anyone to go to hell. Again, I read the book. I know how horrible just the reading of it is. I don't want anybody. I don't care who they are. But I will not be able to win people to Jesus Christ because I have hatred for the sin that individual is involved with. We only have hatred for everybody else's sins. Have you ever noticed that? Folks, let's get real. Everybody in here has got the personal favored sin. Oh, not me, preacher. I'm pure. Then you're in the wrong church, brother. Wrong church. Because my whole congregation is messed up. Read the book. But if we weren't so messed up, we would depend on ourselves for salvation, would we not? Oh, I don't need the Lord. Everything's going good for me. And many people will say, how come all those people that go against God, they seem to have all the wealth and they seem to have this, that, and the other? Do you not think that the God of this world, Satan himself, does not reward evil? The people who serve Satan have a God. Don't you remember him? He's the one that looked Jesus in the face and said, oh, Jesus, I will give to you all that you see on earth. This is during Jesus' temptation. And he said, all you need to do is bend down and worship me. Then Satan said one of the dumbest statements I believe I've ever heard to say to God himself, the Son of God. He says, I can do that because your Father has given me authority on earth. Jesus, your Father created everything. But he's given me authority here. Who did he think he was talking to? Oh, sure. You're telling me that my Father gave you authority, so I'm going to worship you, the very one that needed authority from my Father. And Jesus warns each of us about that. The world will offer you everything. Jesus says, I've already offered you all that I have. I can't love you anymore, Larry. Because you see, there's no cap on my love for any of my children. I can't do anything that'll make Jesus love me more. I can't do anything so bad it'll make him love me less. I like love. Love sees no wrong. It's always pure. The heart of God is pure love. The next verse on the scripture there is a statement that Jesus made. And I want you to look at that statement. Now, Jesus is in the garden with his disciples. Now, you all catch that scripture there, because I want you to go back a couple of verses when you get home to study. I want you to see something. This is the betrayal time. All chapter 17 of the Gospel of John is just before he leaves earth. You getting it? Just before the betrayal and all. Well, Judas Iscariot comes walking up with the guard, the Roman, to arrest Jesus. Two verses prior to this, the scripture says, Jesus saw them coming. He looked at them. Now, he didn't take off running. You got it? He looked at them and he said, "Who are you looking for?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." Now, listen to this. Then he made a statement the first time. This is the second time up there. Then he made the statement, "I am he." At that point, all of them fell to the ground in front of him. They could not stand in the presence of I am he. They could not stand in the presence of the great I am. They fall. Now think about that picture. They're the ones with the sword, except for Peter, of course. They're the ones with the sword. And when they get back up, here we go to this. Again he asked them, John 18, 7 and 8, "Who is it you want?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." "I told you that I am he," Jesus answered. "If you're looking for me, then let these men go." You got it? When Jesus went to that cross, that was the seal that Jesus said to Satan in all hell, "Let them go." As he said about Lazarus in the tomb when he raised him to life, he said, "Loose him and let him go." "You want me," Jesus said, "you got me." Folks, if you would get a little of that history in your mind, you would understand how grateful they were that Jesus went peaceably. Because it was obvious they had come face to face with God incarnate at the cross. The end of his death physically. It was the Roman God. When he saw everything that was going on, weather rise and just earthquake, everything going on, he said, "Surely this man was the Son of God." The mistake he made, he put him in the past tense. That one on the cross is the Son of God. He is my King. He is the King of life. He's the boss over death. He's the love that brings truth within our heart. He is God, and he said that I get to live at his place. forever and ever.
Hallelujah.
That's a long time, isn't it? Oh, I'm so thankful Jesus loves me. And I'm so thankful he doesn't pay any attention to all the reasons I try to give him not to. I get to live at Jesus' place. And it don't get any better than that. Let's pray. Father, help us, Father, as each of us lift our heart to you. I don't have the slightest idea what's going on, Lord. But I do know that you are paying very close attention to what is. Father, as we've walked through this life, we've witnessed your great love, and we've also witnessed, Father, your awesome power. Each of us tremble now, Lord, for we watch after our families, begging for the peace that surpasses all understanding. And it's always been right there, right before our very eyes, right in the presence of our very spirit. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Thank you for putting up with us. And thank you, Father, for such an invitation to get to live at your place.